of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. They received this message of good news about a Savior who has come into the world. And they're told, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so at that point, they have a choice, don't they? Are they going to go and look at the sign? Are they going to go to that manger and see if this news is really true? And what do? Verse 15, they say to another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened. Verse 16, they hurry there. No pausing, no waiting, no uncertainty. Off they go. They want to know. We're not told whether they take their sheep with them. I reckon they probably don't, because that would stop them hurrying. Sheep aren't really conducive to quick travel. Just pause for a moment and ponder the thought that if they didn't take their sheep with them, what a risk they've just taken. Sheep are their sole form of income. If the sheep are snatched while they're off in Bethlehem, their whole way of life falls apart. If that is what they've done, that in and of itself is a model of faith, isn't it? Leaving behind what is precious to go to the thing that is even more precious. It seems to me that that's what the shepherds do. Respond to the word at personal risk to themselves. The shepherds hurry off. They hurry off to see Jesus. And the question is, how does seeing Jesus change their lives? If you've been with us over the course of this term, you'll know that in our kind of children's slots, we've been thinking about different people whose lives have been changed by meeting Jesus. Mary and Zacchaeus and all kinds of other people. Here's another group of people. How are their lives changed by seeing Jesus? Well, today we're going to see two things about how their lives are changed, about how they respond to seeing Jesus. The first is seeing Jesus leads to proclaiming. Seeing Jesus leads to proclaiming. Verse 16, they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. That's what they were told they would find. They would find a baby lying in a manger, and that's what they find. And that is a sign because it is extraordinary. That's not where babies are normally put. A manger is a feeding trough, and in it, you put food, scraps for the animals. You don't put children. And yet here, on this occasion, that's what they find. They get to that place, that stable, that side room, or whatever quiet it was, and they find a baby lying in a manger. They find Mary exhausted from the journey. They find Mary exhausted from labor. They find Joseph, an attentive husband. And they find Jesus lying in a manger. What do they do? What do they do with what they've seen? Do they keep it to themselves? Okay, well, that was an interesting thing. That's a fun thing that we can put in our scrapbooks. No. Of course they don't keep it to themselves. You see what happens, verse 17? They spread the word concerning what they've seen. They spread the word concerning what's been told to them about this child. That's natural, isn't it? Isn't that the response when we see something amazing? One upshot of social media, I think, is it does teach us that this dynamic is just quite natural. We see something that's great and we want to tell other people about it. Something great happens to us, and if you're on certain social media platforms, you snap a picture and you instantly upload it because you want other people to know. There's all kinds of dangers with that, about people presenting unrealistic, curated content that makes their lives look way better than they are. But one thing it teaches us is that when something great happens, we want to tell other people about it. Kids, you know that dynamic, don't you? Something really exciting happens to you. I don't know whether at school you get to kind of say what the most exciting thing that happened in your weekend was. I know in Sunday school, at least sometimes, you get to kind of share news of something great that's happened to you that week. If something like so amazing happens, like one of the best things, like it was your birthday and you got the, like so, a really great present, or whether, I don't know, you went to see a family member you've not seen for a while, or something just really great happened in your week, and it's nearly your turn as you get to share news, you're excited to tell people, aren't you? We love to tell people good news. And that helps us to understand what the shepherds do here. They can't hold on to this news for themselves. They want to share this news with others. Because they have seen exactly what the angels told them, and so they now believe that everything the angels told them have come to pass. That this baby is the Saviour. So they spread the words. And verse 18, all who heard it were amazed. We're not quite sure who the all who heard it are. It's unlikely to just be Mary and Joseph. I think that would be a strange way to write it. So the expectation is it's some other people. Maybe it's some other people they met on their way home. Maybe there were others crowded around the newborn at this point. Maybe they went door to door in Bethlehem and started telling people. We don't know. We know that all who heard it were amazed. Amazed at what had happened. Now that amazement doesn't necessarily mean that all these people come to believe, but they are staggered at this thought that God would send his son, a saviour into the world, who would be born as a baby and would lie in a manger. It is a pretty staggering message, isn't it? The highest of all in the lowest of places, the saviour in a manger. It's said that our society generally, people are receding in their kind of knowledge of the Bible. People generally know less of the Bible than they have done at other points in history in our society. That's a real sadness in lots of ways. We long for people to know more of these life-giving words. Here's one small positive about that. As we go and spread this good news, we are more likely to get some of those moments of amazement, because we will be telling people something they've genuinely never heard before. And when people hear this message for the first time, there are often just kind of shocked faces. The thought that God would come to earth, and not to a palace, but to a manger. It is an amazing thing. Just because we're used to the story and maybe we lose the amazement, doesn't mean it isn't just staggering. It is a staggering thing. And the shepherds have told these people because they too are amazed. They have come to believe and they long for people to know. What do we learn from these shepherds? We learn from these shepherds that as we recapture the wonder of what's happened, we proclaim, our mouths open. It is a natural overflow of seeing what God has done. You've been with us over the course of the year. You'll know our verse for the year has been, make known among the nations what the Lord has done. The shepherds get that dynamic, don't they? They make known among those around them what the Lord has done, what they have seen. You see, that isn't just a thing that we do or have been seeking to do this year. That is part of the dynamic of the Christian life. As we see, we tell. That doesn't end for us in 2024. It never ends for us, because there are still always people who need to know. And so, one of the things the shepherds teach us is that as we see Jesus, it leads to proclaiming Jesus to others. We keep speaking of him. Here's the second thing these shepherds teach us. They teach us that seeing Jesus leads to praising. Seeing Jesus leads to praising. Look down at verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds head back to normality, except normality will never be normal again. They glorify and praise God because they have seen something utterly extraordinary that will change their lives forever. Those thoughts glorifying and praising, they're not different things particularly, they're just one thing, said twice for impact. They see how great God is, they see what he's done, they express approval of what he's done, they give him honour for what he's done. They glorify him, they praise him, they're amazed. And again, that's natural, isn't it? That is a natural thing when we see something extraordinary. So kids, imagine that in the playground you see something incredible. Imagine that one of your friends just walks to the middle of the playground and just does a backflip. Or one of your friends climbs the tree that no one in the history of your school has ever managed to climb before. When they finish getting told off by the teacher, because they probably shouldn't have done that, you're going to go up to them and tell them, that was amazing! You are so good at climbing trees, so good at doing backflips, whatever it is. When you see someone do something amazing, you tell them how great it was. For you, maybe it's in the office. Someone nails a sales pitch to a client. Afterwards, you go off and tell them how great a job they did. It's natural when we see someone do a really good job, when we see people do something impressive, we praise them. And so too with the shepherds. They have seen God do something utterly incredible. Something amazing has happened. A saviour has been born. A saviour who, in a world full of people who, if we're honest about ourselves and about others, we spend our time proclaiming and praising ourselves quite a lot, don't we? We're quick to proclaim how great we are. We're quick to praise ourselves or seek praise for ourselves from others. And God sees that and he knows that is wrong and he does something about it. He sends a saviour into the world. A saviour who didn't proclaim himself. A saviour who wasn't in the business of seeking praise for himself. A saviour who came for the sake of others. That is the good news that the shepherds were told. That is the good news that brings great joy. That there is one who lives not for his own praise, not for his own glory, but for the sake of others. And who came into the world to save them. The shepherds see that. The shepherds understand that. The shepherds marvel at that. And so they praise the one who sent him into the world. They praise the God of heaven who sends Jesus and reveals the message of Jesus to them. The shepherds teach us to praise God. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Maybe you've started looking into these things recently, or maybe you've kind of come along to church on and off for a while, or you're just not really sure what you make of these things, or maybe you have made up your minds. My question to you this morning is, have you really seen Jesus? Have you really seen what the Christmas story is about? Have you seen the wonder of what God has done? The wonder that the one in the highest place came to the lowest place. The wonder that the Saviour was born in a manger. The wonder that God became man. Because if that really happened, it leads to praising him, doesn't it? Maybe you're here this morning, you have put your trust in this. You've lived following Jesus for years. You've seen him, and you've seen this scene time and time and time again. Just ponder that scene afresh. The wonder of the Christmas message. God taking on flesh. Jesus born in a manger. And doing all of those things for our sakes. That we may come to know him. That we, people who by nature proclaim ourselves, praise ourselves, can receive salvation. Because a saviour has been born. It is as we see all the Lord has done, as we reflect on his deeds, that is what will cause us to praise him. Over the month of December, we've just reflected on the life of Jesus together. The one who is God, fully God, takes on flesh, becomes fully man, He lives a real human life. He suffers for our sakes. And he takes on a body, not just for a short period of time, but he keeps it forever as a taste of the world to come that we will all enjoy. That is the wonder of what God has done. As we see that story, praise ceases to be a chore. Maybe you're not like me in this, but so often it's easy for praising God to become a chore. We know we should do it, but it's a grind. Or maybe it feels less of a chore. Maybe it is a kind of joy, but it's a joy that I can only get to by first fueling it myself. I have to kind of gear myself up to praise God. And when I get there, it's a joy, but it's taken me quite a lot of effort to get there. We don't need to fuel it ourselves. It's not a chore. God has provided the fuel. As we gaze afresh on all the Lord has done, as we gaze on him, praise flows naturally. That's what the shepherds did. No one told them to praise God. They just saw his deeds, and they did. What do we do when we're tempted to tune out of the Christmas message? Bored of it, maybe. When we lose the wonder of the Christmas story, either because we've heard it so many times or because we think it's for other people, tune back in. Listen afresh. See what the shepherds saw. The Saviour in a manger. The highest become lowest. And then see how the shepherds responded to that message. They proclaim what they saw. They praise the God who did it. And that's not just a response for the festive season. That is the ongoing shape of the Christian life. And that is what we need God's help to keep on doing. Let me lead us in prayer as we close. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to be like those shepherds. That as we see Jesus, we would proclaim the wonder of what he has done. And we would praise you, the God who sent him. Because you are truly glorious, and you show that in your deeds, particularly in your deeds that we see in all Jesus has done for us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together as we come to a close. if we're going to go about proclaiming this message, praising God, we need that fuel of seeing what he has done. Let me just remind us of the message of the angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And that's what they found. Amen.